Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 17th day of November, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Your Destiny. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Kumru Ambeth. We are in the question and answer mode. I think we've described that before to you. Basically, it just means everybody logging in will be muted until such time as they flag me with either pressing star 6 on their phones or the ask a question button on their computer. And then at an opportune time, I will unmute you and find out what you'd like to talk about. This is your radio program. It's not mine. It's for all of Jacob Israel, especially in the latter days here when I'm telling you, we are being played on so many different levels, it's just almost beyond description. But good news is Father hasn't abandoned us, and He's given us tools to see through it. Besides, the Holy Spirit witnesses to us, and we have discernment. So we're going to need all of those weapons as we go forward. Our website is www.PastorDan.net, and again, Pastor Dan is altogether no spaces or special characters, just PastorDan.net. Psalm 119, verse 105, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. As we look at the world today, we notice, everybody seems to be stumbling along and almost like they're not sure what's going on, who they are anymore. I mean, the world is just completely nuts. Even for us that have been awake for a very long time, there are many nights when I go to bed at night and lay my head on the pillow and I just sit there and consider what I witnessed today. It's almost like, is this the same world I was born into? Is this the same country that I learned about and respected most of my life? It's just like police, you know. When I was a boy, we had a lot of respect for police officers. Today, not so much. Same thing with the military. When you find out what the powers that be have had men and women in uniform doing, it's not so nice. And again, are these people being deceived? Well, yeah, they are. But what happened to conscience? Even during my time in the United States military, the Air Force, I worked on electronic equipment, but we questioned lots of things back then. That was back during the very first oil embargoes, and the price of gasoline went skyrocketing upwards. So we were questioning things even back then. But again, they compartmentalize a lot of information to where people down on the bottom, and I was certainly near the bottom, they don't really know what's going on. Okay, so you treat it just like a job. Well, I know a lot of these people are caught in that same trap. But still, at some point, you have to ask and question, why are you doing what you're doing? And that's what the current situation is with our military and police. I mean, they are being militarized, the police are, against us. At what point do you say, I'm not going to stay in uniform? At what point do you say, I'm no longer going to support the New World Order? So, again, the title, Your Destiny, what is our destiny? Is our destiny to go down in flames and become a pile of ashes in the history of this world? I don't believe it is. I believe in what the scriptures say. And we're going to read in Isaiah chapter 65, why are we in the trouble we're in? And does our Father abandon us? The answer to that obviously is not. I sent a response to a think tank this morning that was talking about a lot of the nefarious things going on, and I reminded them that of all the things that are being talked about, even in the current administration in Washington, D.C., how many times is honor or glory given to our Father? I don't know about you folks, but I don't recall ever. Now, they'll talk about God bless America, but remember the Clintons and both Bushes and all those folks, and so did Obama. They talked about God, but what God? God is just a term. Our Father has a name. And some people pronounce it different. That's just like any name on earth. You know, you go to France, my name is pronounced different than it is in Germany or in Ireland. So, yeah, we use Yahweh here, but that doesn't mean that somebody says Yahoo is wrong or Yahweh is wrong, okay? It's still I am that I am in the ancient tongue. But until somebody can bring me a time machine and we can go zipping back 6,500 years and listen to our ancestors, but I have a feeling that if you were in the area of Palestine today, listening to them speak Aramaic or Phoenician Hebrew, and then you were to go to what became the United Kingdom and listen to the ancient Celts, you'd probably hear some different pronunciations there even, just like we do today. When, you know, I grew up in the mountains of Pennsylvania and I went to high school in New Jersey. When I left Pennsylvania, I can remember sitting in a history class in New Jersey, and the teacher wanted me to read a section from the textbook, and I read it, and several of the students said, "What did he just say?" And that's only going from central Pennsylvania to New Jersey. That's a few hundred miles. And yet my accent was Pennsylvania Dutch. South Jersey was suburban Philadelphia, basically. And so they pronounced all kinds of things different. So at the same period of time, only a couple hundred miles away, people pronunciations were so different that they didn't even understand what I was talking about. So do you see how 6,500 years later, for us to sit around and argue over pronunciation is ludicrous? Absolutely ludicrous. So that's why I wanted to talk about our destiny and use Isaiah as a backdrop for that in chapter 65 here. Because a lot of people are dismayed and almost sound like they want to give up. Well, I got news for you. Our Heavenly Father, those are words that not in His vocabulary. We never give up. Ever. Why? Because that demonstrates a lack of faith. Yeshua said, "When I return, will I find faith upon the earth?" How much faith do you see? Do you see any faith amongst the people in Washington, D.C.? Hell, they're not even of our kind, let alone our faith. They're not of our DNA. They're not of our culture. Most of those people are complete misfits. We definitely do live in a cacistocracy, for sure. As the good and righteous people vacated politics in America, the vacuum was filled with the worst sorts of people, the most bought and paid for, the lowest IQ, the lowest standards occupy positions in government. Therefore, the righteous need to walk away from that, okay? It's a false god. So our destiny isn't to allow these misfits to lead us into another world war or to into miscegenation and mixing our blood with those who are not separated or holy. We don't need to go down those paths. Our destiny is to follow Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, to follow Him into the pits of hell if necessary. Stay focused, folks. All of this distraction, all of the images of the beast are to create fear and confusion in us. To take us away from what? To take us away from our relationship with our Father. To have us doubt Him. To have a lack of faith. they know damn well that if we stay with our Father and stay in touch with Him and walk with Him, we're invincible. Okay? It doesn't feel like that. I understand that. You're watching all of this, and there's many a day. In fact, I got a letter from a gentleman with his dismay. If we get time, I might read it. Over the situation within identity where there's so much infighting, et cetera, et cetera. But you have to understand something. A lot of this infighting that's going on today is due to those of our faith and race who do not behave as Messiah told us to behave. Now, I'm not going to break fellowship with somebody over a superficial thing, but when behavior becomes such that it does not exemplify our Father and our race, I don't want to associate with that. You've heard of the old expression, guilt by association, right? I don't want to be associated with people who blaspheme the Holy Spirit, who ridicule another Israelite over things that are not worthy of that ridicule, you see? And those are items in my book, anyway, that you do separate and do not fellowship. Now, do I wish them ill will, some of these characters? No, I don't wish them any ill will. They have enough problems with their pitiful walk with the Father. I don't need to create more for them. They have to deal with it themselves because people are walking away from them. What was their motives? Was it money? Was it fame? Was it glory? Was it self-aggrandizement? I have no idea, nor do I even care. All I know is salvation, as the scripture talks about salvation, is from our obedience to the Father. Not in how many people listen to our channels or any such things as that. So anyway, we're going to get into Isaiah 65 here, and then I'll open up the phone lines for chit-chat if anybody has something they want to talk about. But we need to figure out what our destiny is as individuals and as a group. Okay? You have to remember, folks, the scriptures were written to a group of people. Three-quarters of the Bible deals with us as a group. Okay, the modern day church world has everything ass backwards. It's absolutely despicable what the modern day so-called churchianity has done. They got us all into this individual, just accept Christ and say the sinner's prayer, be baptized in the Spirit, you're good to go. Whereas as a group, we are pathetic as a people. Pathetic. We got a lot of individuals walking around talking about Jesus and getting saved, and I'm led by the Spirit. I know one lady who's a friend of the family. She just talks about Jesus all the time. Oh, Jesus is my husband. Jesus is my best friend. And Jesus this and Jesus that. And yet, she at times is the most obnoxious individual I can stand to be around. Full of herself. Full of her so-called piety, full of her scriptural knowledge, and yet she has no problem with popping the top on a bottle of wine and drinking the whole damn thing within a couple hours and getting snookered. All right? Okay, I find that just a little strange. Not that I'm against a glass of wine, but the idea that you think you're more pious than everybody else, but at the same time you don't have a problem with getting your butt drunk on wine or any other alcohol and sort of acting the fool. You see the dichotomy there, the cognitive dissonance exhibited by people such as that? The whole church world is full of that kind of stuff. Okay, I've been to plenty of churches. I've watched the hypocrisy of the congregation, and all of them are that way. I've been to a Baptist, I've been to Assembly of God, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, Southern Baptist, you name it. Been to all of them. And pretty much every single one of them, it was the same thing. They worship the priest, the father, the preacher, the pastor, as if he's some kind of, like a priest of old, that he's a man of God. What's that mean? Everything he says is to be taken as gospel, and we're not supposed to question it. Pastor is just a leader. Okay, the same Aramaic term that we call pastor, leader, or commander is the same term. Okay, they didn't differentiate. It just means the guy in charge. Just like our term slave or servant or bond servant comes from the same Greek word. So it's all a matter of context. Doulos, we are his bondservant. Doulos, we are his slaves. Doulos, we are his servants. It's the same word. It just means you have put yourself under the authority of another individual. So children are doulos of the husband. Wives are doulos of the husband of the house, the head of the household. You see, they twist everything around. Everything's twisted. So why are we in trouble, and why are we not paying attention to what our destiny is? And Isaiah talks a little bit about it here in chapter 65. So let's read down through there. I am inquired of by those who did not ask. I am found by those who did not seek me. I said, see me, to a nation that has not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all day to a rebellious people. Can you picture that? I have spread out my hands, like waving to them, like, I'm here. Could you come and let me embrace you? Who walk in a way that is not good. Isn't that what we do to our family and friends? We have our hands out. Please, I've got news about natural health. I've got news about Yahweh and his law that could help you. And they walk in a way that is not good after their own thoughts. Isn't that what the old communist thing is all about? The socialists, the Bolsheviks, do as thou wilt, the satanics. A people who provoke me to my face continually. That's the white race today. Sacrificing in gardens and burning incense on bricks. Who sit amongst the graves and spend nights in secret places, who eat pig's meat, pork, woe, and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Now, for those folks out there that don't think it matters what you put in your mouth, I think Isaiah is trying to make a point here that, yeah, it does matter, okay? So amongst those who provoke him are what? Those who eat pig's meat and broth of abominable things. What are abominable things? Like shellfish, crayfish, crawdads, lobster, the scavengers of the bottom. And did you ever notice that a lot of things we're not supposed to eat, you have to go out of your way to cook it, or it will kill you, or at least poison you? Did you ever notice that? What happens to a lobster if you were to just pull it up on shore and kill it and then cook it like regular meat? It becomes poisonous. That's why they're boiled alive. How many people, when they go to the restaurant, do they go in the back where the chef is and watch them put that live creature into a pot of boiling water and watch him cook alive? Same thing with crabs. Do you go back there and help? Or do you just sit out there and wait while somebody else does the dirty work? Just like when you circumcise your child. Instead of going back and doing the dirty deed yourself, you get the doctors and all to take the baby away so you don't hear the screams. You don't watch the procedure. And yet you think you're doing a good thing. Well, if you think it's so damn good, then go back and do it yourself. If you think it's such a good thing, pick up that lobster yourself and put it in that boiling water and watch it squirm as it cooks alive so you can eat the pig's meat and abominations. No wonder the Father's pissed off at us. And who say, stay by yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than thou. Reminds me of the lady I was just telling you about. when I try to tell her the identity truths and tell her she's wrong about the miscegenation, she's wrong about a lot. I speak in tongues, and I, Yahshua, Jesus, he's my husband. Really? Jesus is your husband. That always kind of amazed me when people say that. Let's see. Father put men and women on earth, and he wants us to enjoy each other's company and please one another, and if blessed, have offspring together. How does that work when Jesus is your husband? How does that work? How do you have a physical pleasure when he's your husband? How does that work? How do you have children by him when he's your husband? Where in Scripture does it say we're supposed to make him our husband? Now, we as a group are his bride, but where does it say as individuals we're to forsake the communion together as people and make him our husband? Just saying. If I'm wrong again, I'll be glad to hear constructive criticism. But if you just don't like what I'm saying, then you can keep it to yourself. These are smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all day. Now, I grew up on a farm. We used to burn rubbish and fallen timber and great big logs and stuff that were laying out in our pasture fields. So I can relate to that. When we'd build those big bonfires, sometimes they would burn for 3-4 days at a time, and there would still be smoldering embers and smoke. So, and I can remember because my mom would get upset because when we went out and played around the fire, we smelled of smoke. Our clothes would be smoky. Our nostrils were full of smoke particles. And you could smell that smoke constantly. So this verse is talking about our sins, our transgressions are like that smoke in the nose. It doesn't go away. Even though you may go into town with dad in the car, you're still smelling that smoke. Even if you change your clothes, you still have that smoke clear up in your nasal passages. You can smell it all day long. Our sins are like that to our Father. They're a stench in his nostrils. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but will repay. Yes, I will repay into their bosom your own iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says Yahweh, who have burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore, I will first measure their work into their bosoms. Yahweh says, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it, so I will do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. That's the part I want you to understand, folks. What's our destiny? Aren't we part of the ones he says, I will not destroy them all? You can't go by numbers, folks. David was cursed when he tried the number of the army of Jacob Israel. He did not trust that he had enough men to do what Yahweh wanted him to do. Numbers is never something we worry about, ever. If I worried about that, I would have shut this radio station down 18 years ago. If I worried about numbers, because we've never had huge numbers. And yet, I'm here to tell you the things that we've discussed on this program over the last 20 years is percolating through this society and through this entire world. Christ changed the world for his people with just 12 men and no modern conveniences that we know of. All right, he didn't have access to any of these tools that we have today. He and 12 disciples changed everything. Numbers don't matter. It's your destiny to be his son or daughter. Period. I will bring offspring out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, My chosen will inherit it, and my servants will dwell there. Sharon will be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down in, for my people who have sought me. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the nuances and the distraught things that are going on, and we don't take the time to count our blessings. When I was a boy, I can remember that it was one of the few things that the church did get right. We used to sing the hymn, Count My Many Blessings, one by one. Many a day when I felt that the Father had abandoned me because of my own mischief, my own misdeeds, and I was going through those dark valleys, then the Holy Spirit would deal with me and remind me to count my blessings. What a change that brings over you. Just lay down in a quiet place. Get away from all the distractions, especially the electronic ones. And just start counting the blessings you do have. Pretty soon you'll find out that things could be a hell of a lot worse, folks. We watch all this crap that's going on, and believe me, I live in an area of the country where I have seen the results of multiculturalism and miscegenation, and it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. But remember, we're in this world, but not of this world. All right? So do I like what I see? No. Do I like what I hear is going on in Washington? No. But I can only do and change the things that he gives me control over. I can't do anything about all them except to be what? An example, live by that example, and tell the truth. That's our destiny, to be his children. When the scripture talks about the sons of God and the children of light, those are Aramaic expressions that mean you exemplify the Father and his attributes. That's how you become a child of God. We are physically a child of God through Adam, our great ancestor. He was a son of Yahweh. At least that's what Scripture tells us, and it makes perfect sense. So we are physically his descendants, but we are also spiritually his descendants when we exhibit his attributes. Not when we behave and act the fool, not when we follow after the things of the world, but him and him alone. Verse 11, but you who forsake Yahweh, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for fortune, and who fill up mixed wine to destiny, I will destine you to the sword, and you will all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen. But you did that which was evil in my eyes, and chose that in which I did not delight. Is that our people today? In a nutshell, you better believe it. The vast majority of our people today, whether they're in Washington, whether they're in government, whether they're in the police, whether they're in the military or not, makes no difference. The vast majority of our people, those verses are talking about. And that's part of the problem I have with all of these so-called fixes that people are talking about today. Very few of them talk about, well, we're in this fix because of our disobedience. We're in this fix because he's calling and we're not listening. We're not paying attention. We don't believe he matters anymore, just like truth doesn't matter to our people anymore. Historicity doesn't matter to our people anymore. Facts don't matter to our people anymore. Common sense doesn't matter to our people anymore. They're too busy chasing after their idols. It's interesting that the TV show was called American Idol, because that's pretty much what Americans have done. They've made entertainers and celebrities idols. Sports figures, idols. Political figures, idols. Rich people with lots of money and big fancy cars, idols. As if that means that they're good people. No, they're not. In fact, odds are, if they've got status or celebrity status or lots of money, odds are that they're not good people. Those things tend to corrupt. But our people worship that sort of thing. Listen to them. I hear it all the time. Okay? Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. That's a good comment that was just sent in. Levi Hunter said that. That's Jeremiah 48:10. That's right. I've talked about that verse quite a few times, but not recently. So thank you, Levi, for sending that in. Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from bloodshed. Meaning if you're too timid for the fight, you're not in for the fight. Whether it's a literal fight or a figurative fight, it doesn't matter. Our destiny is to be fighters. Our destiny is to be warriors. Men, you're to be warriors. Not cucks. Not social justice warriors. Not snowflakes. Not pansies. Not effeminate. Not bowing to the wishes of your wives and children. No, that's not your destiny. Your destiny is to be leaders. Your destiny is to be warriors. Your destiny is to be men. This world wants to denigrate being a man in every aspect you can think of. So what do the sons of Yahweh demonstrate? Just the opposite. As I've said on this program many times, I am a toxic male. And I'm proud of it. You call me any kind of name you want. I really don't give a damn, to be honest with you. Never have. I don't care about name calling. What I do care about is being a representative of my father. And I want to be true to my ancestors. My dad was a man. Every ounce of him was a man. My grandfather, stern and strict, both of them. Okay? That's the line of men. They didn't kowtow to women. They sure as hell didn't kowtow to children. I can tell you that. Time to be lions again, as James Lancia said on this show some time ago. It's time for us men to be lions again. Verse 13, therefore the Lord Yahweh says, behold, my servants will eat, but you will be hungry. Behold, my servants will drink, but you will be thirsty. Behold, my servants will rejoice, but you will be disappointed. Behold, my servants will sing for joy of heart, but you will cry for sorrow of heart and will wait for anguish of spirit. How many of our people do you see look completely forlorn today? Even though they've got good jobs, lots of money in the bank, maybe a nice pretty home, but they're not really happy. Just like the lady that Jesus is her husband. She's not really happy. That's why she gets plastered in wine when she does. If she was happy, she wouldn't need to do that. She knows that something's wrong. That's why I enjoy arguing with her or debating with her because she thinks she's got it figured out, and no, she doesn't. Just like most of these people in these churches, they don't have a clue. They're going through the motions, okay? As Scripture calls it, the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We have power, folks. That's our destiny. We have a calling. We are going to come through this fire. It's going to burn this world up. And we haven't even seen the beginning of it yet. This is just the leading edge of the storm that's coming. And the storm is not the crap that's talked about in Washington. The storm that's coming is from on high. Washington, D.C. and the Pentagon can't even come close to the storm that's about ready to come down on this earth. They don't have enough money. They don't have enough power. They don't have enough technology. They think they do, but no, they don't. Compared to what our Heavenly Father's got, nah, it's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. Behold, my servants will sing for joy of heart, but you will cry for sorrow of heart, and you will wait for anguish of spirit. You will leave your name for a curse to my chosen. And the Lord Yahweh will kill you, or destroy you. He will call his servants by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth will bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth will swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered nor come into mind. That's our destiny, folks. When it says a new heaven and a new earth, what do you think he's talking about? Do you think he's going to create another ball in the middle of a vast vacuum out there of nothingness? Do you actually think that's what it is? That we're on some spinning marble out in the middle of nowhere? I mean, how ludicrous. The more I think about that whole thing, it's just more ludicrous by the day. How did we ever fall for such nonsense? Same thing with Darwin and his whole theory of evolution. Theory. It's still called a theory because it is a theory. It's a make-believe story. Not a shred of evidence to support it. Not a shred. Many in academia know that, but the Jew will make sure you don't talk about it. 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. That's right. And the former things will not be remembered nor come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a delight and her people a joy. That's our people. When we're doing the right things, when we work together as a team, when we come together as a family, we are a joy and a delight in this world. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people, and the voice of weeping and the voice of crying will be heard in her no more. Again, our destiny. No more will there be an infant who only lives a few days, nor an old man who has not filled his days. For the child will die 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old will be accursed. They will build houses and inhabit them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit. They will not plant and another eat. For the days of my people will be like the days of a tree, and my chosen will long enjoy the work of their hands. Hallelujah. How many trees do we know of? How many species? That, you know, there's trees on this earth that were alive when Christ walked this earth. Think about that for a minute. There are trees on the earth that were here when Christ walked this earth. Our people will be like those trees, strong, long enduring. What did it say in Psalm 91? He will bless us with what? A long life. They will not labor in vain, nor give birth for calamity, for they are the offspring of Yahweh's blessed, and their descendants with them. Again, our destiny. A multitude of children raised in happy homes, happy wives, happy tents. It will happen that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. You know, Father knows what we're going to ask in our prayers before we even ask it. Did you know that? He knows before you even open your mouth. So a lot of people say, well, Dan, I don't know how to pray. Do you know how to talk? Most people I know have no problem talking. What's the difference? Prayer and talking are exactly the same. Prayer just means you're addressing your conversation with the Father through the Holy Spirit. That's the only difference. It's still a conversation. It's still talking. He's waiting. He wants to hear from you. How many people even do that? How many people take advantage of the fact that you have a living Heavenly Father? It's not somebody from thousands of years ago. He's here now. He's listening now. They got your head wrapped around worrying about 6,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. You weren't there then. You have no idea what actually happened then. The whole time you're sitting there consumed with all that, You're ignoring the present. Do you think he created us just to abandon us? Do you think all this is for naught? It will happen that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Praise Yahweh for that. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. Dust will be the serpent's food. Yeah, you hearing that, Nakash? And they will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, says Yahweh. So eventually these satanic Edomites will be back to eating dust as they were in the beginning. They will not be a thorn in our side. And we will reach a point where slaughter will no longer be necessary, okay? Because especially the lady folks out there, I don't eat meat because I don't believe in killing anything with a face on it. Well, unfortunately, that's the world we live in. There's a lot of nutrition in protein. Even for us men, in fact, there's an ingredient in beef that's very, very necessary for us men. But the good news is you don't need much of it, okay? We gorge ourselves on meat products way more than we're supposed to. And I'm coming at that from not only scripture, but from a natural health perspective. Meat is the very hardest thing for your body to digest, especially red meat. The very, very hardest thing to digest. So when you're consuming large quantities of red meat, you are really taxing your body's abilities. Now, I'm just saying, okay, I've cut back on red meat tremendously compared to when I was in my teens and 20s. And I'm going to tell you, the health improvements are tremendous, okay? I'm doing the intermittent fasting. The things we talk about here, you know, that's a sign of Yahweh's people. They don't just talk about these things, which this letter that was sent to me by a gentleman complaining, and he's got good points about the infighting and stuff within identity. A lot of it's because we've got a lot of folks in identity who talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Folks, talking the talk, we got lots of talkers. You have to walk the walk. That's why I've been blessed over the years to have some of you out there that have come and traveled long distances to come pay me a visit. And you've actually seen the fact that this isn't just a speech for me. This isn't just talk for me. I live this. This is my life. Everything that we talk about here is my life. Whether we're talking about clean water, pure water, the foods, the intermittent fasting, I live all that. Long time ago when I went to classes, I said I'm not going to tell the family and friends and all about this stuff till I do it myself. First of all, I want to make sure it works because I'm not going to tell them to do things that don't work. So I went through it myself and found that it did work, just like prayer. I know it works because I do it every day. I know the Father's real because I commune with him every day. I know we are his chosen people because he tells me so. And I witness it. These are the things that you should be living, folks. This is a living relationship with our Father. It's not something in a book to be read and mesmerized about or fantasize about. It's reality. It's your destiny. To be his sons and daughters. That's the very first object for your entire existence, is to be in relation with him as a son or daughter. Once you do that, then you can work on the other things, finding a good mate, raising a family, having a successful career, whatever it is. Okay? You first have to figure out what your place in his scheme of things is. You have to get right with him first, because if you're not right with him, how are you going to be successful in any other venture of your life? How are you going to do that? See, we put the cart before the horse all the time. because we're teenagers and our hormones are all in a rage, we go out and find somebody that turns us on, which, hell, for a young boy in his teens, it doesn't take a hell of a lot. And we think that's love, and we run off and get married, and then 10 years later wonder why we're divorced and paying child support, and there's three or four children that wonder where dad is, etc. We've all been down that path. Why? Because nobody was teaching us the truth. Nobody was telling us, like they did even in Scripture, when Jacob was looking for a wife, what he was told. And the same thing with Isaac. Okay, they didn't just run out and just let their hormones do their deciding. But, you know, Satan's kids came in and convinced us that was unfair. You know, arranged marriages or mom and dad having a say on who we picked for our mate. Oh, that's old-fashioned. That's unfair. I remember when I was a boy that, oh, it's so unfair. Some Jew like Freud or Jung or some other Jung, whatever pronunciation you want to use, another Jew would write a book, and our people would idolize these guys. Oh, this intellectual wrote a book, and he says that, you know, it's unfair. Love should just spring from our hearts and just, oh, lilies and roses, and just run out there and just live happily ever after. Well, that makes a great novel, but it's not reality. So we threw away all the common sense things, all the things that our ancestors did to improve the odds. Just like the Bible talks about. Okay, when you pick a mate or mates for you men, mom and dad, aunts and uncles, grandma and grandpa are all supposed to be part of the process, because all you're thinking about is one thing. They're not. They could care less about her abilities in the bedroom. They want to know how good of a mother is she going to be. How supportive of a wife is she going to be? Does she keep a good house? Does she prepare food? Does she care about the quality of the food? Does she care about the quality of education of her children? Does she care about Yahweh? Does she care about her man meeting his requirements to be a son of the God of heaven and earth? Okay? They're going to look at all those things. They could care less whether she looks good in a nightie or not. They could care less whether or not you're satisfied with her sexually. Because in the big picture of things, those are not all that important. If you've taken care of all the other things, then that part is probably going to be pretty satisfactory anyway. So we've done everything ass backwards. We've allowed Satan's kids to come in and turn everything completely upside down. And marriage is one of the institutions that they've completely obliterated. What we call marriage today isn't even a modicum of what our Father intended. Not even close. That's why there's so much misery. Just like Isaiah 65 told us here. Okay? You think you're going and doing the right things when, in fact, all you're doing is what your body and your emotions and your physical desires, lusts of the flesh, so to speak, all you're doing is caring about those things, and they don't bring happiness. They don't bring joy. They don't bring success. So again, we got everything ass backwards and haven't figured it out. That's not our destiny. Our destiny is to live, breathe, talk, and behave as His children. And remember another thing, okay? In this day and age, with books that are so easily obtainable and the scriptures so easily obtainable, we haven't had access to the written word for very long. And yet, we as His children, we've been here for a long time. Do you think He's going to speak to us through these written words only? Do you think that these written words are what binds us together as men and women, as family, and as His servants? Do you honestly think that's how He communicates to us? There's a lot of wisdom in the written word when it's properly translated, but He doesn't need Bibles to communicate to you. Think about that. For many centuries, our people lived and died in the service of our king, and they never looked in a Bible. It didn't exist. They never picked up a parchment in Greek or in ancient Hebrew and looked at it. How did they do that? And yet, I've been to congregations where they have knives and they spend more time sticking those knives into the backs of other people in the congregation more than they do trying to behave as family. All over these words written on paper by scribes. Even scripture says, be careful of the lying pen of the scribes. Good case in point, look at the church world. Thou shalt not commit adultery. 99% of these morons out here don't have a clue what that is. Well, adultery, Dan, is stepping out on your wife. It's, you know, a married man going with somebody else. No, that's not what it says. It says you will not mongrelize. Even the racial part, a lot of people don't get it right. It doesn't say you're not supposed to race mix. That's the only aspect that they think of. Okay? That's partially true. You're right. You're not supposed to mix your blood. But that's not the only thing that you mongrelize. How many of you have mongrel cats and dogs? How many of you have mongrel cattle in your fields? How many of you have mongrel horses in your stables? Okay? That's also mongrelization. How many of you plant hybrid seeds or genetically modified seeds? Those are mongrels. The word in the Greek language is to adulterate or mongrelize, meaning mixing things that don't belong together. It's the same Hebrew word that the word Babylon and Babel come from. Confusion caused by admixture. That's what Babylon means. The same word, Babel and Babylon, come from the exact same word. Confusion caused by admixture. What is admixture? Putting things together that don't belong together. Black and white don't belong together racially. White and yellow or brown don't belong together racially. But neither do Siamese cats and any other kind of cat. Okay? You may think it's cute, but you've just helped create a bastard. In the Greek language, it's ouk moukesous. Do not mongrelize. In other words, don't play God. I created everything on this earth for you. Everything you see, I created it. How dare you think that you can do better? I know a guy, he's got I can't remember the kind of tree, but he said he somehow crossbred the trees, and he can't wait to see the flowers to see if they're mixed between the white and the red. And I just looked at him and shook my head, and he's standing there. He goes, I don't understand why it's not blooming yet. It's been sitting there for over a year. I said, well, maybe you're trying to create something that isn't meant to be. Did you ever think about that? Why would you do that? Why can't you enjoy the white flowers on the one version and the red flowers on? Why do you think you have to mix? That's our people. They can't leave well enough alone. They got to constantly want to play God. They constantly want to change things and mix things up instead of just accepting what He put here for us. And now we're doing it even with our children. Look at that poor man trying to save his son from being castrated by his mom. His ex-wife wants to physically castrate this young boy to turn him into a female she can't, you can't do that. A male is a male and a female is a female. There is no such thing as transgenderism. You can call it anything you want, but if you're born a male, you're a male. If you're born a female, you're a female. Every molecule in your body is one or the other. And you can cut things off or place things on there or dress any way you want, but you're not going to change the fundamental person within the body. That's what's creating all the hardship and all the anxiety and all of the tension. You're trying to live a life that's outside reality. It's a mental construct. You know, they talk about mental constructs as if race is a mental construct or gender is a no, it's the other way around. When you think you can mix races and it's acceptable, you've created a mental construct. It doesn't exist. Or that you can change your gender. No, you can't. Again, I'm a toxic male. That's why I make sure people, there's a trigger alert. You're going to be talking with toxic men on this program. So if that bothers you, then go somewhere else. But we're not going to change. I decided that a long time ago. I'd rather go into the ground before I change and disappoint my Heavenly Father. Because this is just a temporary stay right here on this under this dome on this place called Eretz. Earth, okay, that's a temporary thing. The best you're going to have is a halfway decent life without too much trouble, but it's going to come to an end regardless, okay? This is a temporary place. This is a testing ground. I heard somebody say that recently. I thought that was a good analogy. It's a testing ground for eternity. It makes perfect sense. That's exactly what this is, a testing ground. How much faith do you have? How much are you willing to stand against the crowd when they want to go the way of Satan and his kids versus the way our Heavenly Father wants us to go? How many? A testing ground for eternity, and most are failing the test. I can see now why he said that. Will I find faith upon the earth? Think about your destiny, folks. It's important. And what we see going on today is not our destiny. All right? Thomas Jefferson told us, I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. Amen to that. Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be in subjection to the higher authorities, for there is no authority except from Yahweh God, and those who exist are ordained by God. Right. Romans 13 does say, the part right here that churchianity talks about, the subjection to the higher authorities, but the part that the church world leaves out is these authorities that you owe your subjection to are to be godly authorities, not ungodly. But most people walking the earth are ungodly today. As my father once told me, the people get the kind of government they deserve. I thought that was kind of cruel when he first said it, and after all these years, many, many years later, I understand now what he meant. The reason we live in a kakistocracy is because society is a kakistocracy. There's very little morality. There's very little integrity. There's very little work ethic. There's very little character. There are no Rhadamanthine people. There are no Gideon warriors. Very, very few. And so our government reflects what we the people are. We are apostate. We are renegades. We are rebels against our King of Kings. And so our government reflects that. It doesn't care about the Constitution. It doesn't care about truth or honesty or integrity at all. You're a fool if you think anything in a form of government, and that includes the military and police, you're a fool. if you think those things matter to them. You may find an occasional exception in an individual. And of course there are. But we're talking about generalities here. In general, those organizations, those institutions don't give a damn about any of that because the people don't give a damn. And they come from the people. So until the people repent and there is a revival, nothing's going to change. Nothing in Washington is going to fix a damn thing. It's all kabuki theater, folks. So what can you do? What can you change? What's within your power to have an effect on this very day? It's you and your conduct. Do you reflect the values of our Father or not? There's a good saying that's going around. It says, if you want the world to change, then be the change that you'd like to see in the world. You be the change. Don't expect others. If you want other people to respect the truth, then you be truthful. If you think other people should respect hard work, then be an honest hard worker yourself. If you think wives should respect their husbands and see to his needs, then you see to your wife's needs and respect her. Instead of being a follower, be a leader. Lead by example. Be the change that you expect everybody else to be. How many times did he tell us, lead by example? The world is waking up. I'm seeing it more and more every single day. I know some of you folks write to me and say that, no, it's pretty bleak and all that. No, no, there is an awakening going on. There is a realization that things are really, really quite nasty right now. In fact, there's an awful lot of talk. In fact, if you haven't seen the YouTube of John Mark that came out last night, go to his YouTube channel. It's just John Mark. It's easy to find, John Mark. And he had a very good one on there about the fact that many, many sources are now talking about the things, again, that we've talked about here for many years, but John Mark has been talking about for the last year. Many different sources. And in fact, he has a little clip or a section in there about Laura Ingraham and people of that stature saying many of the same things that we've talked about, okay? This current president is the last president that will be elected by conservative white America. Okay? We put him in office, or at least that's the image that's been created. Personally, I think computers decide, and we know who controls the computers. But we're led to believe that we put him in there. Well, that will be, this is the last hurrah. The demographics, they finally changed the demographics in this country to the point where white America is going to have to fight their way out of this one. Your numbers have dwindled while the enemy is flooding across the border by the tens of millions, and the ones that are already here are having 5, 6, 7, 8 children in their families when white America is barely having enough to keep the amount of our population at its current level, let alone expanding it. So because they've ripped the money out of our pockets and they're feeding all of these invaders, you don't have enough money, at least that's the perception, to raise a child properly. And so our people aren't having children. Be the change, folks. I'm going to read the letter that was sent to me. I hope he doesn't mind. I'm not going to tell you who it was, of course, but the principles that he's talking about here is what I'd like to talk about. But he introduces himself, and then he says that he's very thankful for like our program and Pastor Greg Howard and folks like that, because they brought him out of the Judeo-Christian world. But he says, I'm very disappointed to see a tremendous amount of division amongst the identity pastors. Seems like no one can get along for an extended period of time, whether it's Eli or Greg or Wickstrom, Visser, Baker, Dewey Tucker, David James, Pastor Steve, Emma Heiser, Professor Truth, and on and on and on. Then he's also concerned because he says, I don't call in because I'm very uneasy about that because of the way some people are treated. Will they think I'm a shill or a government agent or a plant or working for the CIA? Or am I going to have to give a DNA test? Well, people that exhibit that kind of behavior, I separate from. Because he's right. That's not the way brothers should treat brothers. I don't need a DNA test. I don't ask anybody for a DNA test. I will test you by your fruits. Scripture says a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And it's very true. All you have to do is check the fruits. And that's why many of these people he mentioned I no longer associate with. Because why? Because they have bad fruit. That's all. Do they preach a message that sounds pure and totally with in the identity realm? Yeah, they do. Wickstrom, I knew him personally. Okay, I knew him for a lot of years. And he attacked me. But he attacked me as I was figuring out that he's a fake and a fraud. He plagiarized a lot of the work of like Colonel Gale and Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé. And we all use other people's materials, don't get me wrong. But he couldn't even have a conversation about Bible around a fireside chat. Every question you ask him, he said, buy my tape or buy my book. Well, because he didn't know. He didn't know. So he had a charismatic way about him. Yeah, I was suckered in for years. For years. Until, again, when you spend a lot of time around somebody, you begin to see when they're off camera how they behave. It's much like why our marriages are falling apart. Because we're jumping into them way too fast. Okay, and I'm guilty of that. So I'm not throwing blame out there to other people. I've done the exact same thing. I've lived it. That's how come I know what's wrong. I've been there. I've got the battle scars. Okay, we make that decision based on the wrong things. And then we wonder why years later, after we've lived with this individual, that we find out some of their habits are intolerable. They're not who they profess themselves to be. They're not who they pretended to be. You see, you can pretend easily for a short period of time, just like some of the people he mentioned. I was around them, and if you're only going to sit there for a 45-minute lecture, you'll come away with, this guy's great. But when you go to the diner and have dinner afterwards, and he's, quote, off camera, and you see the things he says and does, they don't match. Judge them by their fruits. See, the fruit is not just what they say when the camera's on and they're behind the podium at the mic. The fruit is, how do they act when the camera's off? When they don't think too many people are watching. That was my problem with many of these individuals and why I don't associate with them anymore. Because if you can't walk the walk, then don't talk the talk. It's deceiving. It's misleading people. And it's also creating a whole lot of frustration amongst our people. So do not be too discouraged when people let you down. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. That's why it takes time to figure out who's who and who's for real. But that's just the way it is. Okay? It's not going to happen easily or overnight. It takes time. takes time. The truth does matter, folks. Truth does matter. I was also very pleased to find out last night, I think I found an additional 30 books that are on my recommended reading list that's on the website, PastorDan.net. That website called PDFDrive.com and Archive.org have a lot of the best books that open people's eyes to the deceptions that are going on by our enemies today, just like Viktor Ostrovsky's By Way of Deception. Now, he was a Mossad agent. Is he telling 100% truth? I don't know that, but there's enough stuff in the book that tells you how the Mossad operates that we do know is true. They do operate by deception. That's why it's their motto. All right, and how do they deceive us and all? Many books have been written, and some of them by Jews. I found a very good book that goes into the life of Edward Bernays, who is the Jewish father of propaganda. It wasn't Nazis. How many times German Nazis are the... No, propaganda was invented by Jews. Psychiatry and psychology was invented by Jews. They're all about manipulation and deception. Do our people operate that way? No. We're supposed to be open books. What I tell you to your face is what I would say when you're not around. Facts are facts. That's why I tell people, you don't have to bug my phone, just listen to the radio programs. I'm not going to say anything different on the phone than what I say on these programs. We're supposed to be open books. Our Heavenly Father is not a esoteric individual. He is in your face right up front. Here's the way it is. When Yeshua walked the earth, here's the way it is. He didn't have one sermon that he preached over here and another sermon over here. The only thing that he kept somewhat secretive was the parables, because he did not want the Jews to hear. That's the only time, because they are not of his flock. They are condemned already. That's the only time. But when we're dealing with each other, we are to be open books, not playing that Jew game of deception and lies and manipulation through advertising and television programming. Why do you think they call it programming? Because that's exactly what it's doing. It's programming you. Okay, they do make war by deception. It's unbelievable. I want to open up the lines. If anybody's got something they want to add or a question or a comment or a report, now's the time to do it. I pretty much covered the things I wanted to cover. But there's a lot of things going on. Do not be forsaken. Do not give up. That's not our destiny. We are overcomers. We will overcome what we see going on right now. That's his promise to us, and personally, that's exactly what I believe. So, okay, we got Randy here. Randy, welcome to the program, bud.
Good morning. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Good information as always. Just found some stuff out on social media about the so-called Prince Andrew, and surprise, surprise, huh?
I did not see anything about that, so fill me in.
Yeah, there was an interview, and there's pictures that are being shared on the internet. He had made some, I don't know how many trips, but it appears he had made some trips out to Epstein Island. And there's a picture, I think she was about 17 years old or so. So he's definitely involved in the pedophilia ring.
Well, I think most of these so-called elitists are, aren't they?
They sure are, and our father told us. I got the army in the background, and freaking out today. you know, our father told us that, you know, basically the end times, all things would be revealed. I mean, look in just the last, let's say, couple of years, we've seen the pedophile stuff really being exposed. Right. We've seen Planned Parenthood being exposed through the Center for Medical Progress. And, of course, now the enemy is going after all these people. They're going after Roger Stone. They're going after Center for Medical Progress. I mean, all these people, man, they're coming after us. So get ready.
Yep. Colonel Potter was talking about that last night, that some prosecutor that was going after, what's Stone's first name? Roger? Is it Roger Stone?
Roger Stone.
Okay. Yep. Roger Stone, some prosecutor said we need to indict Alex Jones. And it's like, what the hell does Alex Jones have to do with Roger Stone?
Remember, we were just talking about that because I'd seen some stuff that was going on. I said, I'd like to think, we've all made mistakes. I know Alex Jones has made mistakes. It's just we like to see people turn from that wickedness and get the repentance that we all need, right? So that's why it was just the other day I was saying, hey, we should pray for Alex. Yeah, now that you got this stuff going on with Alex, Roger Stone. Well, the judge in that case, I put it out on social media. The judge was appointed by Obama. And if you go to, I think the website's Open Secret, something like that, you can search political contributions and stuff. And she's clearly a Democrat, donates money, which most people, most judges, politicians, lawyers, they all pretty much, they'll sit there and claim like they're not biased and all that. But I reassure you, most of the people that are in politics, they're only donating to one political party or the other because they have a natural political bias. Well, and this judge that sat over the Roger Stone case, she's clearly a Democrat appointed by Obama, donates to the DNC, Barack Obama, all these people, right? Same thing with the Center for Medical Progress. The judge in that case, it's the same thing. Appointed by the same people, donates to the same people. Like, come on, wake up, folks, This is so clear what's going on.
Well, John Mark talked about the fact that the...
Just like the people that went after the Christian bakery owners.
Right.
The one judge then there were several cases throughout the country, but the one that comes to mind was in Oregon, and that was an appointed judge, not elected by anybody, but simply appointed, basically fined those Christian bakery owners so much that it put them right out of business.
Yeah.
If folks are paying attention, you see all this stuff just coming to light. Just like our Father told us it would. All things will be revealed.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is. Well, all the more reason why right now we need to stay true to our destiny and be His children. Yep. And the men need to manifest. That's the whole world's waiting for us men, Randy.
Absolutely.
The whole world's waiting for us. Not Washington, D.C., not London, not the Vatican. None of those things. They're waiting for us. Who are the sons of Yahweh? Is that not us? We got to wake our men up. Our men have to come together as warriors and as brothers because we're both.
And I tell you, man, over the years, I've seen the infighting myself. And that's why I just slowly got away from what you would call patriot groups per se, as far as being an actual member. I mean, I'm not against working with other people. But as far as card carrying, got to be a member, I just don't want any involvement in that anymore. I just go off and I'll work with people that I think they're actually getting something done, because I'll tell you what I'm against. I am against patriot groups where you're basically a membership. And the only thing, it's more of a business than actually going out and getting things done and seeing real world results. And they just line their own pockets full of money. And that actually goes against everything our founding fathers did. Our founding fathers sacrificed their own wealth so we might have the chance at being free. They didn't line their own pockets full of money like a lot of these groups. And I am opposed to that.
Right, right. The motive should not be profit. Should not be tied to money. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, these are exciting times. There is no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one of the founding fathers said something about the animated, the animated struggle for liberty. Basically, it's something you have to fight for almost on a daily basis. It's never something where, okay, we won it, we can sit back on our ass. and it's done, so we don't have to worry about it. No, it's a daily struggle because there will be somebody trying to take your liberties and your freedoms at all times.
Yeah, always.
So,
and you know, and for the preachers that are out there that say, well, we don't have to do anything because we're going to get raptured out of here, I say shame on them, because that's the reason why we're in the mess that we are. I mean, our inability to really hold these people accountable and to do direct action against them is why we're in such a mess now. And because people are now waking up, and they're, you know, some people that are just now getting into this, waking up and seeing all this stuff going around, they're asking all these questions. Well, because people have been sleeping. You got people out there running around claiming that they're patriots and all. Look, we are all responsible for allowing these people to get away with what they've done. And the question is, are we going to do something? Our founding fathers did what they had to do. Now it's our turn. Are we going to do something? Are we going to turn a blind eye to it, act like everything's okay? We're going to let somebody else take care of it? You know, only we have to answer that question. For, you know, everybody's going to have a different response to that question, but that's what it comes down to. Are we going to do something, or just turn a blind eye? Like you put stuff on Facebook, for example, right, just to kind of see if people are interested in it. Most people won't even hit the like button. They won't even communicate on the issue. Just nothing's happening, man. My life is good. It doesn't affect me. Who cares, right?
Yeah, I still have a job. My car still runs. Yeah, there's cold beer in the refrigerator.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
It's sad. But hey, we're not stopping. So.
Well, I think a lot of this is beyond our control. I think we need to be aware, and we need to be educated, and we need to make as many preps as we can as individuals. But Father is going to spark this thing off, whatever way he chooses. I don't know personally what it's going to be, but
and I think that's where the preparation comes in, because see, not only have we been trying to wake people up, but we've also been preparing. Because see, brother, the difference is between us and the mainstream churches is we know the rapture is a lie. We know that's being used against people, so they don't prepare. So people like us, not only are we trying to wake up other people, but we're also preparing for the real war that's coming, because we know there's no rapture coming. It ain't happening.
Right.
They didn't fool
right.
us. They didn't fool us with their lies and propaganda.
Yep. And many of the people I've met over the years of my travels, what I call preppers, or survivalists or preppers, most of them don't go to mainstream churches anyway.
Right.
And that's one reason they don't, because they're real men, and most real men wouldn't want to go to a pansy-ass church today anyway. So they don't listen to any of that garbage. They believe what they see, and they see a government that's out of control and it's becoming encroaching on our liberties. And that the day will come when your own government will be your worst enemy, and that's exactly where we're at. The whole purpose of the Second Amendment is in front of our faces right now.
Yeah, and I want to give just one more example of some stuff that I see going on. Recently, there was, we may have talked about this in prior shows, there was a ruling that came down from the Supreme Court basically suggesting, like in the case of the family of Sandy Hook victims, that the gun manufacturers can actually be sued. Now this is coming down through the Supreme Court. But what's you know, a lot of people are starting to wake up on that front. Like, hey, you know, I had this, you know, what's going on here? And it's like, look, Justice Scalia already warned us, and this is public record. Everybody can go look it up for free at the Supreme Court website. When the gay marriage ruling come down, well, this has been a couple of years now, Justice Scalia wrote in the actual document that everybody can go read that the Supreme Court of the United States is a threat to American democracy. And of course, less than 1 year that he wrote that in his dissenting statement, they found him dead. So for all those people that are like, well, how can the Supreme Court do this? Look, Justice Scalia already warned us that even the Supreme Court is a threat to our so-called democracy. We know that's not the correct word, but that's what Justice Scalia said, that even the highest court of this land is a threat. What is that telling you, folks? You can't even trust them. See, now, Brother Dan, if we said that about the Supreme Court, they would laugh at us and just call us conspiracy nuts. But Justice Scalia sat on the Supreme Court, and that's what he said about those people. What does that tell you?
Yeah. Well, who makes up the Supreme Court? It's all Catholics and Jews.
Yep. So don't be deceived, brothers. But anyways, Pastor Dan, you keep up the good work, and praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh, Randy. Take care, bud. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think that'll be it for today, unless somebody else has something they want to call in and discuss with us. If there is anything that happens in the near future that I think is significant enough, I'll have an emergency broadcast. I'll put the notice up on the website, and I'll send it out to those that are on my email list. I don't know that that's going to happen. I'm just letting you know that the regular programs will continue, but if there's something really, really hot we need to talk about, we'll have a special broadcast. Or if I have a special friend, I'm picking up more and more people in my circle of contacts. A lot of them are coming to not only understand what's wrong with the government and the military-industrial complex, but they're coming to understand identity, believe it or not. They may not know all the intricacies of those of us that have been studying this for a very long time, but they understand that there is a genocidal attempt to eliminate the white race. And so now they're becoming very, very nationalistic. Praise Yahweh. That's a start. When these people wake up to the fact that race matters, it always has mattered. Go read the book, The Hive Mind, okay? The Hive Mind. You can find a PDF version for free online or buy the book at Abe Books. It's pretty cheap, A-B-E, Abe Books. You can probably get a copy for like $4. So, but The Hive Mind talks about the fact that the IQ of a population is more important than your own personal IQ. Okay, you can have an IQ of 140, but if the population's IQ is dipped down to below 95, your nation's in trouble. Okay, the average IQ of the entire nation, and remember, nation means race. So your nation is your race. If your race's IQ average drops, you're going to have trouble, lots of trouble in a lot of different areas. John Mark on his YouTube channel puts up the charts and the studies that have been done that show the correlation between national average IQ and the ability to have a solid GDP for your country, or violent crime, all kind of categories of determining civilization and how they are drastically affected by the average IQ of the group, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. So, and again, the book, The Hive Mind, I don't have the entire title in front of me, but if you just do a Google search on that, you'll probably find it. But he goes into great detail about that and the importance of national IQ. John Mark, more recently on his videos, if you don't like reading, go to John Mark's videos. He talks about that and why we, the conservative right in America, will not win another election. We've reached that point. We will not win. Even if it's rigged, of course we won't, but we will not win another election in this country, whether it's rigged or not rigged. You're not going to win one because you don't have the votes. You're being outvoted by the invaders. The invaders vote 70% Democrat/Communist, Bolshevik, Socialist. 70% or more of these invaders, whether they're brown invaders, yellow invader, Jewish invaders, whatever, they are 70 or more percent Bolshevik communist leaning. And now they've opened the floodgates, which was the whole purpose in 1965 when Jacob Javits, and yes, he is a Talmud thumping Jew, and his little band of Jewish bandits in Washington destroyed our immigration policy. That's when it started, 1965. and the floodgates were open. He even is quoted as saying that the floodgates are now open to flood this country with non-whites. And the non-whites are typically Bolshevik-leaning. I've met plenty of them down here. I used to go to a karaoke night at the local watering hole, and when Barack Obama first started being talked about, and I said what disgust I had for the individual, I thought he was a piece of shit, excuse my French, I got all kinds of looks and comments, and I looked at him and I said, you people actually support him? And some of these people were Cuban, white, but they came from Cuba, which I just looked at him and I shook my head. I said, you people are communists. I'm sitting here having drinks and listening to karaoke with communists. I said, I'm shocked, especially you folks from Cuba. You came here to escape communism, but you're in favor of it here. It didn't work where you came from, but you're in favor of it here. I said, are you idiots? Are you that stupid? Why didn't you go back? Go back to Cuba. Why the hell do you want to turn my country into the hellhole that you left? Talk about cognitive dissidence. So when John Mark and others talk about things like that, I'm living it. It's right here. I'm submerged in that whole mental process by these invaders. So don't think for one minute it's not true. Okay, we've got some more callers here. Hold on a second. Henry, we'll go with you first there, buddy. Welcome to the program.
All right, Dan. You were just speaking about the... I also saw that article about the a nation's IQ. Makes a lot of sense. Actually, I think... if you think about it, I think that's the whole purpose for the flooding immigration into the European countries. I think it's an intentional thing to drive down our IQ so that the population can be controlled, as well as changing the demographics to ensure that liberal Marxist Democrats are going to run everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yep, that's why we have AOC, okay? They can now manipulate the vote. And that's another thing that's becoming common knowledge. You know, according to the Constitution, every representative in Washington, D.C. is supposed to represent no more than 30,000 people.
Right.
So Congress, to be truly representative, should have thousands of representatives.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we don't. Okay, so these representatives have way too much power. And they can redistrict areas and whatnot to make sure the Bolsheviks get in there like AOC and other complete retards like that. So, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. But then when you become ignorant people and apathetic, you're asking for it.
Yeah, we almost get what we deserve. One other thing I just wanted to bring up. I don't know if you're aware of it. I didn't watch any of the... hearings last week about the impeachment process, but I did see something on the web. Apparently, next week, again, I'm no fan of Donald Trump, and I do think he's kind of psychotic and whatnot, but it's going to be a real dog and pony show, apparently, next week. I think next week's list of people who are going to give testimonies are basically a whole group of psychiatrists, and they've already determined that it's a dog and pony show, but they're going to parade out one psychiatrist after another to illustrate how psychotic Trump is and how he's not capable of being president. And I kind, you know, in a certain kind of a way, I agree with that, but this should not be taking place. And I think there's also something else behind the scenes that they're trying to accomplish with that process that they're going to do next week. I think they not only want to indict Donald Trump, I think they want to indict all the people who supported him, and they want to categorize all Trump supporters. And again, I'm not even a Trump supporter. I did vote for him, but I think this is the secondary purpose behind that charade next week is going to be to basically maybe even make a, you know, have a list of people who are Trump supporters and categorize everybody as nuts. And I don't know. These are really pretty messed up times we're living in. It's so Orwellian. It's ridiculous.
It's dystopic, and it's endemic of it's an indicator of where we're at, because who invented psychiatry and psychology? Okay,
Jews.
Okay, yep. So who are the people at the top of this food chain that are dictating this communist takeover? Jews. Okay, yep. So of course the Jews, who are the manipulators, and we just talked about Ostrovsky's book By Way of Deception. That's exactly how they do it, okay? They first start off, just like in television programming. What were the first TV programs? Red Skelton, Lassie,
Leave
It to Beaver, okay? They always get the camel's nose into the tent with basically innocent stuff, they lead you into that, okay? Well, the Supreme Court and psychiatry, psychology, they led you into it, and people were actually, I mean, I've had adults, because a psychiatrist or psychologist wants to put their kids on drugs, they do it. I said, why are you doing that? Well, the psychiatrist or psychologist says so, and they're educated. I said, really?
Right.
You see how that works? So
amazing.
They got us brainwashed to think that it means something if a psychiatrist or psychologist says it. They're the most sick and demented people walking the earth.
Absolutely.
They're not people that we need to listen to. Go look into the backgrounds of your average psychiatrist and psychologist.
Yeah.
They're not good people.
Oh, absolutely.
There's okay?
No point.
So
yeah.
Why in the hell would anybody care what one of them bastards says?
Yeah.
All right? But you're right. That's what they want everybody in TV land, all the lemmings out there, they want them to think that if a bunch of these Jewish morons get on the boob tube and say that Trump supporters are demented the same way he is, next thing you know, they're going to go, well, we need to go in and bring them in to be drugged. And, while we're at it, if they have any weapons, we'll have to confiscate those.
Absolutely.
You can see where they're going with this.
It's amazing. It's just so obvious to anybody who's not got their head buried in the sand. It's just amazingly obvious. That's why I like listening to you on Sundays, especially, well, Wednesdays as well. But you just bring so much common sense. I just every time I listen to you, usually, especially in the first segment where you're just, doing your rant or whatever you want to call it, I pick up new things every time I listen to you, and I just thank Yahweh for that, because it's just been a blessing for my life. It really has, and I thanked you before for that. I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but it really I learn new things, little subtle things, and other things you talk about that you repeat sometimes. It just drives points home, and it makes things come together in my life so much better. I just want to thank you for that. And I can't stay long today because I've got my mother here, and we're doing something. Just wanted to thank you for these broadcasts. They're very meaningful for me, and I'm sure the other listeners feel the same way. And anyway, just wanted to say that.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Henry, and Yahweh bless.
All
appreciate
right.
it.
Okay.
Take good care.
You too.
John, welcome to the program.
Good morning. May Yahweh bless you, sir, and may Yahweh bless all that are listening today. This is John Padgett. How are you doing, sir?
I'm hanging in there, buddy, hanging in there.
I got your email about the IQ situation across this country. That is very important, but our individual IQs are very important as well. But I couldn't agree with you more, and with that article, that we have this country needs to get their IQ much back up. Pardon me. This country, white America, needs to get their IQ back up. It's going low and lower all the time.
Exactly. Well, a lot of what they're trying to say is that we've brought in these non-whites who typically, on average, their IQs are a minimum of 10 points below ours, sometimes much more, because they're coming into our country, they're driving the average IQ for the nation way below where you can sustain a civilization. You can't sustain civilization. And you can look at all kinds of charts that prove this, okay? It's just common sense. So, right. So it's not so much the white IQs going down, though it has, because of the dumbing down of our people through miscegenation and poisons and a public school system that's atrocious. But it's also the infusing of all these low IQ other peoples. And, you know, I don't know why white people have such a inability to conceive of how these things are bad. I mean, I really don't understand it. How can you not see what's in front of your face? I mean, we're living the proof that these studies and these books that have been written by knowledgeable people, we're living with the proof right in front of our face. I mean, look at the behavior of children. Look at the behavior of the average folks up at the local mall and all the violence that we hear about. They're not being done by conservative white people. Conservative white people don't have any of these problems. It's like where I grew up. It was 99% white in the country. We didn't even lock our windows and doors or our cars. Just like the guy talked about over in China when he was over there. The guys get out of their car with the windows down and they leave their laptops and phones sitting on the seat. And when they come back, it's still there. Okay, well, that's where I grew up. That's the way it was. Nobody would even think about going into somebody's car. Windows up or down, doors locked or not, didn't matter. They wouldn't even conceive of it. Or walking into somebody else's house or stealing something that doesn't belong to them. That was rare. I remember one time asking, do we even have a police force in our town? I knew I'd seen a cop car once or twice. But I said, you know, why don't I see them? It's because we had almost no crime. There was no need. And now look at it. Now, we've got militarized police all over the place. And it's like I said a long time ago. If you look at the way Israel is run, it's run like a militarized prison camp. And now we send our cops and military over to train with the Israelis. Why? Because they want to turn this into a militarized camp just like Itzalai. You can see it. Okay? A lot of people laughed when I first started talking about it back in the 90s and the early 2000s. Everybody said, oh, no. Well, tell me we don't look at our airports. What do our airports remind you of? The airports in Tel Aviv. Okay, that's where it started. They were that way a long time ago. So now that the Jews control America, our airports are operated exactly the same way. It's a Judaic Bolshevik takeover of the United States. It's no longer white. It's no longer Christian. It's no longer conservative. We've become satanic Bolsheviks. And people are too ignorant to even acknowledge that. Okay, it's hard to fix a problem when you don't acknowledge you have a problem. That's what they tell you at Alcoholics Anonymous. You can't cure an alcoholic until he admits he has a problem. You can't cure Bubis Americus until they admit that they're Bubis, that they're stupid, they're uninformed, they're ignorant, they're apathetic. Until they understand that they have this disease, it's very hard to do anything with them.
So, as far as the Cuban immigration down here, folks, I live down here in Miami, and Commander Dan lives about a couple miles more south of me in the same county. And that it doesn't surprise me, Commander Dan, what you just said about the Cubans, that they're acting socialistic. But I've said, I believe I've said that here on the program maybe two or three times. Now, not all of them are going to act like that, but when they come here with a mindset that they think that they're entitled to a lot of things. And you'd be surprised, so many of the Cubans I ran into, they seem to be a little socialistic, but I can't say that those that I ran into are or not.
Right.
That's why it's hard to determine. I mean, if these people are coming from a country where it's Marxist communistic, and they come here, you would think that they would protect this country from turning communism. I have spoken with some Cubans in the last couple of months. They are afraid that this country is getting to be a communist, Marxist, socialist country, and they can see it. But not every Cuban is like them. But that's right. The bad thing. Keep in mind, now the younger crowd is here. Many of them that are younger, and they still want things done. They still like to get free things. But the Cubans do have a very good, strong work ethic, especially the ones that came here not long after the Cuban Revolution.
Right.
They still have it. They want to keep whatever money that they made. But now, as far as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders is concerned, I got some emails a couple of weeks ago saying that 7 out of 10 of the younger crowd, I guess 8, it didn't say, but the 18 and up, maybe up to 32 or whatever, this includes my two nephews. They want some form of socialism in this country, and that is what scares the hell out of me. And if Donald Trump is elected again, yes, I believe that he will be the last Republican president and the last white president that this country will ever see again. So that's why I favor secession. Or something, yeah. Something to carve out whatever is left of white America, where we can have our own space, our own country, our own destiny. Because we really cannot live with all these Democrats and Marxist socialists that are coming out down here. Look at the mindset of the younger crowd today. Most of them are following Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders wants AOC on his side now, that he's going to have a position for her if he does go to the White House. No, really, I'm telling you, he'll give her a position in there if he ends up being president. Now
I don't doubt that. Again, we live in a kakistocracy. Nothing surprises me. Well, but you know, people need to read the book Civil War II: The Coming Breakup of America by Thomas Chittum, because Thomas was almost like he was a prophet. He was a military guy in the United States Army. He's been in combat in 3 different theaters. So he has been in countries that approached where we are now and actually went into armed conflict, and how they broke up and how they balkanized because of that conflict. And he said that's what's coming to America, and you can see it. You're exactly right. We will balkanize, this country will separate into regions, and it will be predominantly by race. That'll be the predominant thing. Politics will be part of it, but as John Mark points out in his YouTube channel, these races typically vote, just like the blacks. You would think the blacks would finally wake up to the Democrats, but they haven't. They still predominantly vote Democrat. Doesn't matter. And same thing with all the Browns and everything else coming in. They are socialist Marxists, and they will vote that way. So it's not just political. It'll be a racial and political segregating, and the whites are going to pull out and go off into different regions of the country, probably in the heartland, in the middle parts.
Well, Commander Dan, it seems that white Anglo, white European America is being pushed towards the heartland of America. They're being pushed towards there. But America, white America, does need waterways. If we are to secede, if some states around the South are going to secede. They're going to need a waterway because you have to have commerce with foreign countries. And that's
Yeah, that's true. And he talks about that as well. It's not like we're going to go bunched up in three or four states in the very center of the country. That's not what I'm talking about.
We can't do that because if we're bunched up in three or four or five centers of the country, we'll never be able to get out. We'll never be able to even have commerce outside of the borders of this country.
Well, we're not going to do that. That's what I'm saying. Even Tom in his book said that, you know, we're going to separate from these others, but we will do so in a manner that we're not going to cut our own throat. Okay, that's why I think personally Florida has a very good chance of becoming one of the enclaves for the white race. Even though we're in parts of Florida, we're a minority. Florida has a lot of very, very positive things for autonomy, for the reasons you said. We could do commerce with the Carolinas and Georgia and Alabama. We're bordered with them. A lot of like-minded conservative people there. We have plenty of coastline. We've got oil. We can grow things here. And there are a tremendous number of conservative white people in Florida. I would say the vast majority. It's easy to see that Florida would turn into a battleground. It'll be a battleground for a while, but the whites will drive the non-whites off the peninsula. Okay? I'm not saying everybody that's not white would be gone, but the radicals, the Marxists, the socialist types will be driven off the peninsula. So it'll become a bastion for conservative white America again, and whites will be in charge, as they were supposed to be from day one. That's why we're in the mess we're in. We allowed Jews to have political power, which our founding fathers were dead set against, and once the Jews get political power and power in the courts, now they start to change everything, which is exactly what Christ warned us about. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And the word leaven means anything that causes small, almost imperceptible changes in a thing or a process. Well, that's what they did. They got into government, they got into the banking, they got into the courts, and over a period of time, small, almost imperceptible changes are being made. They work just like termites. They don't ever sleep as a group. They work like termites to undermine your foundations. They have done that from day one. That's why 109 countries have booted them out over the years, probably more than that actually, but that's the number everybody seems to think according to the encyclopedia. So 109 times they've been driven out just for that purpose, not because they're Jews. It's because Jews do what Jews do. They undermine the indigenous people and their religion and their economics and their government. They do it every single time.
I want to bring up the issue of the Second Amendment for just a minute, the second article to the Constitution. About 2 weeks ago, I was asked if I wanted to go into security and be a security guard, an armed security guard, by a nephew of mine. And I told him that I didn't want to do that. I was not interested in that, and I don't care because they didn't pay well, but that was not the issue of pay. I told him I just don't want to. And then he asked me, well, then what is the purpose of you having that gun? And then I snapped back right back at him nicely, and I said, for self-defense. And because we have a Second Amendment in our Constitution that says that I can have one. Now, this is the brainwashing of the young people today.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. That proves a point. He didn't learn one diddly squat thing in public schools. Not one thing.
Oh, of course not.
What is the purpose of us having a gun? Unbelievable. But he was smart enough to ask me that question.
Yep. Well,
that tells me which way he could end up going one day, depending on how far this socialism or Marxism gets into this country. And I'm very scared about that, and I'm even scared for him. As soon as I told him about the Second Amendment in the Constitution, he kept his mouth shut.
Yeah.
This is what we're up against, Commander Dan. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we're up against all over this country, especially with the younger crowd. Could you imagine this boy turning me in one day if they were to come and confiscate the guns?
That's what they're hoping for.
Imagine that one.
Mm-hmm. That's the whole reason for the movies and television with their predictive programming, is to turn the general population into snitches. And just like they did in Russia, again, the Bolsheviks don't change the plan. It worked for them in Russia, so they're doing the same thing here. They want to get all the people to be spies for them and to turn each other in. So, again, all you got to do is read Alexander Solzhenitsyn's work about how the Bolsheviks did what they did, and you'll see it's happening here again. 100 years later, it's happening exactly. It's exactly the way it was. Okay? So that's what they plan on doing. And we got to be smart enough and proactive enough that we know that that's coming and take steps to mitigate it, okay? But here again, just remember, you know, those people are a punishment on our disobedient brothers and sisters. Yahweh said, I will turn the heathen against you. I will use them. I will even destroy you if you don't come back to me. Okay, I don't.
How are we going to tell all this to white Anglo, white European America?
We're not, John.
To get back to God. To get back to God or get back to Yahweh. How?
We're doing it. We've been doing it. We've been doing it on this program for 20 years. Are they paying attention?
I don't think many of them are, but how is there? There's got to be other forms or other ways to get to them.
No, no. Yahweh's not going to pull the plug on our people until they've all had a chance to hear the truth, okay? I learned that a long time ago. Yahweh is not going to destroy a people that have never heard the truth. This truth, and that's why he allowed the internet to go out there and allowed things like internet radio, for exactly what you're saying. The truth is out there for anybody that's interested in the truth. The problem is you can't teach truth to people that don't care about the truth. And that is the problem with the white race. Most don't care. The truth is out there everywhere. And it's not just this program. There's thousands of radio stations talking the same talk. There's thousands of websites with all kinds of truth on it. That's not the problem. The problem is the average white person is content being an apostate, materialistic hedonist. That's what they like. That's what they want. Yahweh has made it very, very clear that he is going to take them out. Remember, this is a testing ground for eternity. That's why he said, nothing that offends me will go into the kingdom. This is the testing ground. He's finding out who is offensive and who is not. And those that are offensive are going to be done away with. That doesn't bother me, John. I know it bothers a lot of people, but it used to bother me. Trust me, for many, many years, I used to anguish over the fact that white race just does not seem to get it. What the hell is wrong with them? I've changed. I don't care anymore about them. If things have gotten this bad and they still don't care about being white and being right with the Father and to repent, if they still don't care, then why should I worry about them? Do you think they're going to care when they drag you out in the middle of the street and put a bullet in you because you're a gun owner?
No.
Or because you own a Bible? These people aren't going to lift a finger. They're not going to care. Why are we obsessing over those kind of people? Let Father take them out. I got no problem with that. He's going to take out the wicked, too, eventually. But he's going to use the wicked to take out the reprobates amongst our own people.
Commander Dan, we're being outnumbered here, not just by the immigration, brown-skinned black people, or even these Cubans coming in here, but we're also being outnumbered with people like my nephew, Bernie Sanders supporters. I don't know if he is or not, but people like him with that mindset. Sometimes I get into arguments with my own mother. Now, how's that one?
Well, that's exactly what Scripture says. He said, I came to bring a sword to divide mother from child, child from mother, brother from sister, sister from brother, members of our own household. He said exactly that, and you're right. I've got the same problem. I've got family that I won't see much longer. I know that.
Likewise, I've had some serious problems with my own sister. That's why I hardly even talk to her anymore. Well, my mother doesn't say much to her either. But this thing, this has really hurt me over the years with my own family.
I know that, but where is your family, John?
I don't have one, and you know it.
Yeah, you do. You're in here with us right now.
Well, I thought you meant a wife and kids. I don't have that.
But no, I meant family as in brotherhood, okay?
Yes, all of you are, yes.
When Christ was teaching at the, I can't remember whose house it was, but when Christ was teaching, some of the disciples came in and said, you need to come outside. Your mother and your brothers are here. They want to talk to you. And he said, my family's right here. Okay? It's the same thing. You're amongst your family right now. That's why he said, if you put mother, father, family above me, you don't deserve me. It's a spiritual family that matters right now, not blood alone, but spiritual. Father is separating the wheat from the chaff, okay? I hate to say it, but that's the facts. He's separating the real believers from the unreal. He's separating the goats and the sheep. And he said, my flock is a tiny flock. He knows that. He's looking for the best. He's looking for the best. And it's because of what we're going to do when we leave this earth, John. That's why he has to have the best. It's not because of what we see right here. This is temporary. This is a stage production. This earth is just a stage.
Oh, you got that. That is certain. It is.
Yeah. And he's looking for the best because of what's next. What's coming next requires that only the best be part of it. And that's what people aren't thinking about. This world is going to go away the way it is right now. It's going to vaporize and a new earth and a new heaven is going to be created right here. Right here. And we're going to be part of that. A lot of these people aren't going to be around. So you want to be part of the best?
Yes.
And then stay focused on being with the best. You're with the family. Our blood families, I'm in the same boat. So are many of the listeners. A lot of our blood families, we're not going to see much longer. And you know, as sad as that makes me, I can live with that. I can live with that because I don't test my Father in heaven. I don't test him. If this is his plan, then the plan is working out, and I'm not going to test it. I just accept it. We're the pot. How can we argue with the potter? He created us. He created this earth. He created the laws of nature. He created all of this exactly as we see it. He created it. So it's for a purpose. There is a plan here. We have to understand that. This isn't just inconsequential happenings. Okay, this whole evolutionary thing is bullshit. This whole everything is by accident is more bullshit. No, there's a plan playing out here. And this earth, as we see it, is a testing ground. And those who pass the test get to go to the next level and be part of whatever that is. But Father is screening us, if you want to look at it that way. He's screening us for the best. He doesn't want naysayers. He doesn't want lukewarm. He doesn't want the wicked. Those are not going to come through. Our destiny is to go from here as brothers and sisters in Yahweh to the next level. And that's what he said. Don't worry about this world and its woes and tribulation and all that, because you're laying up treasure on the other side. So for everything that we suffer in this one, it will be made up for a thousandfold on the other side. He can still bless us here, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of things to bless us here. But the point of it is, your major blessings will come later on the other side. And that's what he wants us to focus on. And not get tied up with too much of this garbage down here, because it is literal garbage. So, and again, that doesn't mean that we sit on our ass and allow the Bolsheviks to get away with murder. No. Our founding fathers didn't believe that. They had loaded muskets, they had bayonets, they had daggers, because wicked need to be dealt with, okay? I'm just saying that regardless of what we see going on, that when we leave here, there is something for us on the other side. That's what we need to focus on. But while we're here in these bags of bones, walking this earth, our job is to, number one, be his sons and daughters and reflect his values. And number two, we are to be a thorn in the side of the wicked. We are to do everything we can to bring the wicked down. And that's what we'll do. As he opens up doors of opportunity, I got no problem with pushing the button to obliterate the wicked. I got no problem doing that in whatever way he wants to do it. They need to go. They need to go. These Bolsheviks need to be rounded up and done with what the Russian people should have done with the Bolsheviks in Russia, but they didn't know, didn't have the information. We should learn from that little piece of history. And when these Bolsheviks, they are making their move, then the militia and the white people that do understand what's going on need to prepare for war, because this is all-out war. Because they will either, well, they're not even going to worry about elections. They're not even worried about that, because what they plan on doing is eliminating us, physically eliminating us, not just politically, but physically eliminating us. This is war. It's a declaration of war by the Bolsheviks. I wonder how many white people understand that. There is no law in this land anymore. You don't have a constitution. You don't have a representative government. You don't even have a military that we can trust. This is war against white Christian America, exactly as the Bolsheviks made war against the white Christian men, women, and children of Russia and Ukraine. And they even were part of the same thing in China. Do you know how many millions of Chinese, conservative, and some even believed in the Christ, how many of them died? Far more than even the Russians. Mao Zedong eliminated many, many millions of his own Chinese people. But he was a Bolshevik.
So between the creation of communism, Marxism, in 1970, in Russia, 1917, between then and now, do you think, what is it, about 300 million were killed in those countries altogether? Maybe more?
Yeah, there is no accurate numbers, but the estimates that you can believe range from 200 to 300 million. That's a lot of people. Killed by their own governments because they were Bolsheviks, and that's how much they hate people that either oppose them or believe in the Christ, because if you're a believer in the Christ, you're naturally going to oppose communism. You can't believe in the Christ of liberty and support communism. That's impossible. You can't be a believer in Christ and support Marxism. You can't do it.
That's
Marxism,
right?
Is antichrist.
Commander Dan, I'm going to get off the line now and let somebody else get on.
All right, sir. You take care. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're at a good stopping point here. Hold on just a second here. I got still getting used to this software. There we go. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. All right. Well, we're going to close in prayer here. But again, folks, stay focused to what your actual destiny is. All right. Don't get caught up in the worldly stuff. Just stay focused. Stay focused and walk with the Father on a daily basis. Walk with the Father. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together. We thank you for the technology you make that we can reach out and talk with our brothers and sisters. Walk with each and every one of us. Give us strength, give us courage, give us discernment, give us clear vision, but also take away the spirit of fear. Give us strength in our own abilities and the fact that you walk with your sons and daughters. That's not true of all these other people. So we don't always do it the right way, but our intentions are pure. And we ask that you would honor that, Father, and forgive us when we do stumble and fall. But be with us and guide us in all that we say, everything that we do, for thy glory and for thy kingdom, and protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.